the activity occurring around route signing, and then reaction and perspectives from some various parties. And then we have about 30 minutes at the end for interaction between the panelists and the audience, questions and answers. So to my left, we have Leslie Cowley, Chief Executive of Nominet UK, and also elected council member of the CCNSO, and also a winner of the 2007 CBI First Woman Award for Technology. To her left, we have Malcolm Huddy, a representative member of RIPE NCC. Is that the hat you're wearing today?
Exactly.
Okay.
I'll clarify.
Okay. Well, he's also head of public affairs at Lynx, the London Internet Exchange, and director of Euro ISPA and regulatory affairs spokesman for Euro IX. To his left, we have David Conrad, who's the vice president of research and IANA strategy at ICANN, and also founder and director general of the Asia Pacific APNIC. And to his left, we have Sabine Dulder, the CEO of DANIC, the world's largest CCTLD. She's been involved with their operations since their very beginning in 1994. We were expecting Carlos Afonso as well. Maybe he'll pop in here soon. Carlos is a member of the Brazilian Internet Steering Committee, which you're all familiar with, and he's also a current member of the NCUC at ICANN. And last but not least, we have Tricia Drakes joining us via Skype. She's actually right there between Malcolm and David. And Tricia Drakes is an information technologist, chair of the ITC company, or ITC Information Security Panel. She's played an active role in the promotion of the internet in London and the global financial services community. She is also a past ICANN board member. So, DNS security extensions, what is it? How does it improve security? It's a technical standard that's been more than 10 years in development. It advanced to a proposed standard in 2005. It modifies the DNS resource records and protocols. It introduces public key cryptography, digital signatures into zones. What it adds is integrity and authentication for query and response transactions between DNS resolvers and name servers, and it protects against some DNS threats, man-in-the-middle attacks, server cache poisoning techniques. It prevents redirect resolver requests to bogus host machines where activities like data theft and malware infections can occur. Signing the root, and what is the governance issue around it? DNSSEC implements a hierarchical model of trust between parent and child zones. The DNS Security Aware Resolver's ability to validate name server responses is accomplished by establishing an authentication chain from a known trust anchor. The chain can always be constructed from the root to lower zones, assuming that every zone in the path is signed and carries the appropriate records for child zones. Signing the root begins that authentication chain. And the issue is who should control the keys in the process to sign the root. That's one issue of DNSSEC, I should mention. We'll talk about others. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Leslie.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Leslie Cowley, Chief Executive of Nominet, which is the not-for-profit company that manages .uk. Perhaps I should begin by saying I'm not a technical person. I have some excellent technical people at Nominet, and in particular some DNSSEC experts, but please don't let me give you the impression I'm one of them. My role at Nominet is about the leadership of the organisation, and in particular the strategies and the strategic choices that we have to make as an organisation. And in my view, DNSSEC is currently one such choice. And it's important, so important to us, that we have recently published a position paper I've not brought paper copies with me, but that can be found on the Nominet website, which is nominet.org.uk. So who needs DNSSEC anyway? Well, some people say there's no end user demand at all. The man on the motorway is not calling for this. Some people have genuine concerns that it will cost too much to implement. And frankly, it's all too complex and not worth the effort. Those are very genuine and very strongly held concerns by some. But then there are other genuine concerns. Some people say we need a more secure internet. Some people say we need to improve trust by users. And that both internet trust and security are the key issues that must be addressed by the internet community for future internet success. Now, I don't see DNSSEC as a solution for all of those challenges, but we view it as quite an important element of a multi-level approach that will provide a secure foundation for many of the new applications that we believe will help with improving internet security and trust. We've been thinking about DNSSEC for quite some time, and as people will be aware, we've been working with others on some of the problems that have come as a result. But now that those problems are almost overcome, the next issue from our point of view is the signing of the route. So, okay, there's this position paper, and in the paper we try to provide a reasonably brief and hopefully relatively easy to understand summary of the issues. We look at four of the relevant factors, and we believe these are the most important relevant factors. Firstly, from our point of view, we believe that implementing DNSSEC will bring a higher degree of complexity and technical management into the management of the route. Secondly, the results of errors in signing could be quite severe, but actually they're no worse than the results of errors in the current management of the route's own data. Not that I've seen any, David, but they're of equal magnitude. Thirdly, there will be, we believe, a far higher volume of changes than currently. And so we feel it necessary to avoid anything that could add delay, that could add cost or complexity. In the paper, we also look at the three options currently being debated, whether that signing could be by the current manager, whether there be some sort of outsourced contract, or a trusted third party. And having examined each of these options and the relevant factors against those options, we've concluded that there should be a single route, that this should combine the authoritative list of top-level domains with the start of a chain of trust for those domains, and that from our point of view, IANA signing the route is the best solution. Now, as you might expect, we're well aware that the oversight of IANA by the United States Department of Commerce can provoke much discussion. You will recall I was on a panel earlier this week that attempted to have some of that discussion. But we feel our proposal doesn't alter or strengthen this role, and it does leave day-to-day management in the hands of a very good and able technical body. Discussions about the role of the US will no doubt continue, and through the mechanisms incorporated in the Tunis Agenda and the process towards enhanced cooperation, and through the IGF discussions as well. So to conclude, we think it is imperative for registries like .uk to lead the implementation of DNSSEC. We see it as a fundamental element of a multi-level approach that we believe will contribute to a better trust and security. We think the time has come to sign the route, and that there should be a single route that combines the list of top-level domains with the start of the DNSSEC chain of trust. Finally, we think we should deal with IANA oversight as a whole in the ongoing discussions towards enhanced cooperation and evolution of this going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. Next, I'm just going to say a few words about a paper that was written by the Internet Governance Project and released last May concerning route signing. It's available at our website. We feel and argue in the paper that DNSSEC increases the need to eliminate threats of political interference that may occur at the root. We advocate a transparent process that has contractual obligations with clear responsibilities and incentives in independent institutions. And we feel the best way to accomplish this is to distribute key management authority to multiple root key operators. And in doing so, you increase the resilience of a critical piece of internet infrastructure, and also you can allow liability to be diffused among those actors. And I encourage you to read the paper, which is at the website. Next, we're going to have David Conrad from IANA talk a little bit about the zone signing process that has been developed at IANA over the last few months for the zones that they are authoritative for, and then also speak to us a little bit about whether IANA or ICANN is ready to assume any more of the root zone management responsibilities that are currently undertaken by VeriSign. And David, let me bring up your presentation.
As Britain's doing that, I'm David Conrad. I'm, as mentioned, the Vice President of Research and IANA Strategy at ICANN. We've been working on DNSSEC-related stuff now for about a year. Excuse me. Basically, at the direction of the IAB, the Internet Architecture Board.
Bear with me, David.
And if you're expecting a technical presentation, this is not the presentation you're looking for.
Sorry, David.
No worries.
Okay, we'll just go with this.
Okay.
You had slides here.
Sure. So, what is the IANA? We're the Internet Assigned Numbers Authority. It was originally established sometime around 1985. The exact date is a little vague because it was IANA is and always was a very informal organization that doesn't have its own legal status. It was created to be a repository for the IETF, the results of IETF standards processes. We're basically maintain a series of registries, about 1,000 different registries. Right now, we perform three major functions. We still do the protocol registry function. We also allocate large address blocks to the RIRs for sub-allocation to ISPs. We do the root and infrastructure zone management, and that's the stuff that's relevant today. This is my view of DNSSEC. I see it as basically a set of DNS extensions that allow for the verification that data has not been modified in transit from a DNS authoritative server to a DNS caching server. It also allows for you to prove that a name doesn't exist within the DNS. From my perspective, the best analogy to describe the DNSSEC is basically a wax seal on an envelope. It doesn't actually stop anyone from ripping into the envelope, but it does give you an indication that something bad has happened in transit. So in 2006, the Internet Architecture Board asked IANA to DNSSEC sign the zones that we're responsible for under RFC 3172, and that consists of .ARPA, the address and routing parameter area zone, and its children zones, which are basically zones that are associated with IETF protocol specifications primarily. IANA has also taken upon ourselves to develop and deploy a demonstration root zone basically as part of an experiment to see what the implications would be should the root zone be signed and put into operational use. We're not the first to have done that. In fact, there are a large number of signed root zones. We're just trying to take a bit of our location within the internet hierarchy to try to get people to be more involved in a test. Next slide. I'm not going to go into this diagram in significant detail. It's basically the architecture of the DNSSEC signing system that we have. We are using a very secure hardware security module to actually do the signing. The private key is not actually accessible. It's within the box, and if you try to break open the box to get to the key, it'll actually erase it. There's a way of backing up the key, and we use that mechanism to replicate the key into a duplicate site. Our goal, and this is primarily for the .ARPA and its children's zones, our goal has been to make a very secure and stable infrastructure, one that's resilient to almost any sort of disaster. Our initial plans are to have a site in North America, actually in L.A., and the backup site, or actually it'll be a hot running site located somewhere in Europe. Our initial plan was to have it in Amsterdam, but that would put both of our sites at some place that would be subject to issues associated with global warming and sea level rise, so we're still thinking about what our alternative site will be. The Root Zone database is created by the RZM. That's the Root Zone Manager software that we've been developing in conjunction with the CCTLD managers. And it populates into a machine that's hidden behind firewalls called ZoneGen. That machine will send information over to the KeyGen machine, which does the signing, sends it back, and then populates a hidden master called ns.iana.org, and that populates the secondaries that are the ones that most users would end up querying. And I think that's probably all I want to say here. Next slide. So operationally, what we've done is we've taken RFC 4641 and stolen as much as we possibly can from the folks in Sweden who've been signing .se and have actually blazed many of the trails that anyone who's doing this will need to follow. We have what's called a key signing key that signs a zone signing key. The zone signing key is the thing that actually signs a zone. The KSK is re-signed on an infrequent basis. We basically have a one-year validity period on the KSK. And the ZSK, the zone signing key, is re-signed on a much shorter period. I believe it's 90 days. We have two of these, and they're staggered so that we can do a very easy key rollover mechanism. And in terms of securing this, we actually have two people who are essentially authorized to do the signing. In order to actually get to the signing facility, they have to go through a secure co-location facility that does biometric checks. They'll have a smart card. The smart card has a PIN, and the only way you can actually do the signing is if you have all three of those. And next slide. Status. Right now, ICANN is actually undertaking risk assessment evaluation to determine what sort of liabilities ICANN would be placing itself under should it actually deploy the DNSSEC sign stuff in a production fashion. On the ARPA and its subzones, we're actually pretty much ready to go. We're writing up some service level agreements for the secondary DNS providers that we're talking to. We actually hope to have that all sort of taken care of by the end of the year, and it would probably go a lot faster if I didn't go to meetings. On the demo experimental route, there is a little additional software that we need to develop right now. We're not generating the root zone internally. We're actually fetching the root zone from basically the same place anyone else on the internet can get it from. And we're also working on some agreements with some secondary providers that would allow us to basically turn the service off at a moment's notice or change the data gathering that we're doing on it. Since it is an experiment, we're interested in collecting all sorts of bizarre statistics on how DNSSEC would actually be used in process. That website the ns.ina.org, dnssecstatus.html, is actually a live website that shows the status of our zone signing process. We developed a lot of software to greatly facilitate the whole DNSX signing process. Without that software, it is something of a nightmare. And things are working pretty well. And with that, I will pass it on, I suspect, unless there are questions.
Great. Thank you, David. So next I'd like to turn to the other panelists for their reactions and perspectives on some of the root signing information that we've talked about so far, and also talk about demand for DNSSEC and some of the other issues that they see facing this technical standard. So Sabine, would you like to open up with some comments?
Start my presentation about what means DNSSEC for a registry like DNIC, and first making some reservations, which I think are important to understand our position. You may hear in my presentation some arguments against DNSSEC, or it may point you at some open questions about the use and usability of DNSSEC. But I want to state very clear that does not imply or mean that DNIC does not support or will not implement DNSSEC. In contrary, we are working intensively on DNSSEC, but in our opinion, DNSSEC is still in a very, very early stage where a lot of questions about the implementation, the interaction amongst the stakeholders, as well as concrete technical solutions are still open. And we would like to encourage everyone to put these issues on the table and discuss them. So, but what are the main open questions? As we learned in some previous talks, implementing DNSSEC does mean that on the long run, the whole or at least the majority of the DNS hierarchy has to be signed, which really means the root, the TLDs, the subdomains after TLDs, and even further. To make DNSSEC successful. Therefore, and this is a crucial point, a lot of current procedures has to be redesigned. New procedures like key rollover, key revocation, and emergency procedures like if a key is violated, has to be developed and understood, and the users has to be convinced to use it. And that means that not only the registries and the DNS providers has to be involved in the process, but all stakeholders has to be incorporated, which means registries, registrars, ISPs, DNS providers, DNS resolution providers. It includes also the application level, the application providers. The applications have also to use and understand DNSSEC to make it successful. We have to keep that in mind. I think that's very important that you really understand that if you want to have a successful DNSSEC, it will change the whole structure. And this said, I have a little bit different position to Leslie of that. It's important to highlight that the support or even the vast desire of major stakeholders, which are important for a successful distribution, is currently completely missing. Neither the users, besides a real very, very small minority in Germany where I actually know the names from them, nor the registrars or even the ISPs are currently articulated any demand for DNSSEC, nor are they working on it. So we don't see a lot of support. But that means that the fundamental basis for successful cooperation amongst the technical community, which is necessary for successful implementation, is missing. In fact, in Germany, we see the market share of DNS software, which is not supporting DNSSEC, growing. A result of one of our last studies was that more than 50% of German domains are operated with name server software, which did not support and is not enabling, cannot be enabled to support DNSSEC. And another point I want to highlight is the increase of cost for the infrastructure. Just on our example, even without anybody using DNSSEC, the initial provision of DNSSEC needs some significant investment of resources and money. Without supporting one single subdomain of an existing TLD, just by enabling DNSSEC, it expands the name server zone file four times. And for those of you who don't think in terms of zone files, a factor four does mean that DNIC would have provided infrastructure which serves 44 million domains instead of 11. And it's worse. In providing this DNSSEC-enabled infrastructure, registry has to face potential threats like zone walking, a higher susceptibility to offenses like DDoS attacks, and additional complexity in zone distribution. Zone distribution, because of the longer zone, takes longer. A lot of efforts we did in the past to really speed that up with dynamic updates will be actually will be counterproductive. And at that stage, DNSSEC still didn't work. We have to go to the third third level. So we would still have to conceive registrars, DNS operators, ISPs, users, and application providers to use this newly provided structure and sign their part of the hierarchy too. Of course, these are not arguments to stop working, doing research and education on DNSSEC. But these are arguments for a registry to move forward in a very careful and inclusive way. And these also... I need a little bit of mine. And it needs more time. And these are also arguments not to start it initially in the productive environment. I think that's very important. Because if you start it in the productive environment without having the support, you may end up with having a change in the productive environment without really implementing DNSSEC on the long run. So we need further time to studies and research. And that leads me to my last point, which was already mentioned today. And that's the question about how and by whom the route should be signed. This is, the more DNSSEC would be really used, not only a matter of a simple technical solution, but it's also a decision of dedicating trust and also power to the one entity or the multiple entities that are charged with that function. We have learned from David that two people come, they are expecting two people being the one who are allowed to sign the CERN. They are targets, too. And where's power? There is a potential that this power can be abused, or actually that somebody really tried to take the persons. We should be clear about that, and we should take the time to really study the consequences. If you take another example, which David makes, was it's just like a wax seal on an envelope. Do you really want to have only one person, one master of the universe, putting the wax seal on the envelope of each and every DNS packet? I'm not sure if that's a good idea. Even if it's secure, and even if it creates authentication. Unfortunately, I cannot provide you with my most favorite solution. As I see no argument, I see arguments for and against all solutions currently proposed. But as the development of DNSSEC is still in a very early stage, as I try to figure out, I try to explain, we should not let us push in a solution where we didn't understand the consequences. So let's work together in a collaborative way in first painting the complete picture of a potential solution. And the complete picture means really how can it go from the service, which is using the DNS, the users establishing, signing their zones, and also the registry signing their zones. And let us make tests and future studies, but let us not start with setting precedences in the most critical productive environment we have, which is the root zone. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Sabine. Next, I'd like to turn to Malcolm Huddy.
Thank you. Yes, I'd like to clarify my status here a second, if I may. I've been asked to speak here as an observer and a participant in the RIPE community, which is a bottom-up community of the part, an element of the internet technical community. I'm not here as a spokesman for the RIPE NCC. The RIPE NCC is the regional internet registry and is the formal spokesman for the official consensus policies. So what I'm going to be saying today are just some informal comments and observations on the discussions that we see within that community, which I hope can add to this discussion, and no more than that. And then from what I have seen of those discussions, we do seem to have quite a strong consensus of let's get on with it. It's not, DNSSEC is, the technical community fully understands, is not a panacea for security. It's not a magic wand. It's not going to solve all our problems. But it is an actual and real strengthening of an important part of the infrastructure, and that makes it a desirable thing to do. Now, being techies, being a technical community, and not a political community, we do tend to pull back from getting on with things if we don't think we got it right technically. And up to now, we haven't felt that we got it right technically, and so there has been some pulling back on that. But we are really at the point now where we have pretty much got to the stage where we're satisfied with that, and I think there is a strong feeling in the technical community that we don't want to see the political side of the discussions becoming an obstacle to deployment of this. So I think that is that is an aspect of it that is widely shared throughout the community. Now I'm going to talk about some things for which there's more discussion and potential disagreement, and maybe highlight some of the areas where there's main arguments there. I think it is the preponderant view, but not an exclusive consensus, but very much the preponderant view that from the what DNSSEC adds to the authority of the root zone publisher of the IANA function, it doesn't make a big change. Not the change that is sometimes claimed for it. Because the root zone is already a trust point. The root zone, the root is where the root is actually a bottom-up decision. It is a decision that lies in the massively distributed configuration data of the DNS resolvers all around the world. All thousands and millions of them that are configured to point to this route rather than any route that I might go home and set up tomorrow. And there is nothing to stop me or you going home and setting up your own route tomorrow. But the only question is, will anybody notice? And the configuration data of those resolvers around the world is the bottom-up decision as to where the route lies. Now, what does adding, signing that route add to this? Well, nothing at all from that point of view. Those resolvers would have to be changed so as to point to a different route if you want to change where the route is. All the zoning, the signing of the route zone does is ensure that you can validate that what you've got really was what you felt you were going to get. And that is a valuable security function. So to the extent that you are happy or unhappy with the current structures of ICANN and how the IANA function is managed and how it is supervised and the role of the US Department of Commerce, then you're probably going to continue to be happy or unhappy with that if we just go ahead and deploy DNSSEC. But let's not, and I think this is a strongly held view within the technical community, let's not say that we have to resolve that very complex and controversial political discussion before we can move ahead to deployment of DNSSEC, when deployment of DNSSEC doesn't actually change the technical position on this. Now, there are those that have a different view, a slightly different view on that, and that certainly focus on the idea that signing the root zone makes splitting the root more difficult. I know that the Internet Governance Project has published papers that discuss this point. And I think many people in the technical community think that it is an admirable property of the design of DNS that it is capable, theoretically, of having the root zone split, that people on a bottom-up basis could walk away from it and choose a new route. But, and let me be very clear about this, I don't know anybody that thinks, from the community that I come from, that thinks that that would be a good idea. I don't think that there is anybody from the community that I come from that actually wants to see the route split. That property is something that ensures that the route will be well managed. It provides a strong incentive for the continued good management of the route. And there are many other incentives besides. And by and large, throughout our community, there is a general support for the way that this has been that this function has been discharged over the years. Now, there are ongoing discussions about reform of ICANN structures and processes and things. And like any other part of this, the technical community has discussions about how this should develop. But the idea that we should be splitting the route and that and that therefore DNSSEC should be designed so as to make splitting the route easier, and fragmenting the internet like that is not something that is appealing to us. It's not something we want to do. So arguments that say that actually it would be harder and it would break things more if you introduce DNSSEC are not the most compelling ones to the community that I come from. We want to see the DNS working. We want to see it working effectively. And DNSSEC, we think, adds an important contribution to this, and we'd like to see progress on it.
Great. Thank you, Malcolm. So now we're going to try and bring in Tricia Driggs on Skype. Tricia, can you hear us? Okay. We'll work that out, but while we're working that out, we're going to turn to Carlos Afonso.
I'm Carlos Afonso from the Brazilian Internet Steering Committee. I am not a technician.
Hi, Tricia.
Should we wait for Tricia?
Please, if you don't mind. Tricia, can you hear us?
Hi.
Great. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead. Loud and clear.
Fantastic. This will be the first ever Skype conference call that's worked all the way through. So hopefully this will happen. Good morning to everyone, and I'm sorry not to be in Rio with you, but I'm there in spirit and very grateful for this opportunity to speak. I should perhaps follow Malcolm. The reception okay? I'm getting a bit of feedback here. But I wanted to follow Malcolm in actually stating the capacity in which I'm speaking, which is I'm speaking as an individual registrant, as an internet user, one who's engaged in the financial services sector and who cares about having a healthy internet on which I can both develop and run applications and for it to be an essential part of my life. I'm also a various board member, but this is very much me speaking as myself as an individual. I would, just in case there's any view when I finish that as to which camp I'm in, and I am actually a supporter of ICANN. I think having seen on the inside the work of both the community and staff board and all those involved, I think what it has achieved in its first 9 years is truly significant, and I hope to continue. Moving to DNSSEC, I think it is an absolutely vital, critical internet resource. I suppose, having been a software person, from an application point of view, I think it's really important, and I mean, I think it's important that Sabine's message about engaging the application developers is really important. I think with IPv6 and the take-up that's going to be happening there, it's really important that the issues are brought to the fore. And in fact, I heard somebody say, well, I think that perhaps DNSSEC will be one of the, this is probably not a right thing from a technical point of view, but it will be one of the killer apps or drivers for taking up IPv6, particularly, and I think Leslie touched on this a bit earlier, particularly for those in financial services and in other markets where security is important. I think the debate that's been going on has been, whether it's at the DNS workshop, the promulgation that's been going on there, at the ICANN meetings, and I'm sure at IETF, is excellent, but probably not enough of it, and certainly not reaching the channels that I deal with in life. And I think that aspect of it is really important. I think it's also really important to recognise, picking up from something Sabine said, that it is, maybe it's 10 years since it all started, but it is a very early stage. And whether you're a user or whether you're a person engaged in the technical aspect or in policy or in IANA or ICANN or in all of the countries around the world, it's important to recognize that this is evolving in every respect, not just the technical ones, and that it's really important that there is an open, informed discussion and information to take informed decisions. As somebody who's been 35 years in the IT industry, there's a tendency in the industry, not myself, of course, but generally, to perhaps assume that the user will accept everything that you say and keep them in the dark and move forward. And this perhaps is not a sinister act, it's just actually wanting to get on. And I think it's really important at this stage that the user respects it's an evolving situation, but that the key issues at all levels, including the policy ones and including with IANA, are actually brought out and put on the table in a way. And the result of not evolving the important ones will mean that people will go and take their own view as to what's going on, and that it's perhaps from a political point of view looking to take advantage of that. I think it's really important that the US government, or USG, also, and I know that these discussions do go on,